This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for October 15th, 2010. I'm Natalie Pincham. The articles published online this week, and which are also featured in this podcast, are on the subjects of stereotactic radiosurgery, vascular disorders, and neurosurgical history. Gamma knife surgery for brain metastases from colorectal cancer, a clinical article by Shigeo Matsunaga and colleagues. Outcomes after gamma knife surgery were retrospectively analyzed in patients with brain metastases from radio-resistant primary colorectal cancer to evaluate the efficacy and the prognostic factors for local tumor control and overall survival. The authors reviewed the medical records of 152 patients with 616 tumors who underwent gamma knife surgery for metastatic brain tumors from colorectal cancer. The mean prescription dose to the tumor margin was 18.5 gray. The mean tumor volume at treatment was 2 centimeters cubed. The primary tumors were located in the colon in 88 patients and the rectum in 64 patients. The median period from the diagnosis of primary lesions to brain metastases was 27 months. The local tumor growth control rate was 91% based on MR imaging. Significant factors for unfavorable local tumor growth control were larger tumor volume and lower margin dose. The median overall survival time was 6 months. Poor overall survival was significantly correlated with a lower Karnofsky Performance Scale score and the presence of active extracranial metastases at first gamma knife surgery. The cause of death was systemic disease in 112 patients and neurological disease in 13. Cerebral dissemination was significantly correlated with shorter neurological survival. The authors conclude that gamma knife surgery is effective for suppression of local tumor growth in patients with brain metastases from radio-resistant colorectal primary cancer. They recommend clinical and radiological screening for intracranial metastases in patients with colorectal cancer who have lower Karnofsky Performance Scale scores and or active extracranial disease. They also note that regular follow-up examinations should be performed after gamma knife surgery for brain metastases in patients with colorectal cancer to allow for timely gamma knife treatment of newly diagnosed or recurrent tumors, and also to optimize the duration of high-quality survival. Cardiac standstill for cerebral aneurysms in 103 patients. An update on the experience at the Barrow Neurological Institute. A clinical article by Francisco Ponce and co-authors. Basilar apex aneurysms represent one of the most challenging entities in neurosurgery. They are deep-seated and surrounded by critical perforating blood vessels. When basilar apex aneurysms are giant, dysmorphic, or dolichoectatic, the risk of bleeding increases, as do the risks of surgery. Consequently, many neurosurgeons have considered such aneurysms inoperable. In the 1980s, advances in microsurgical and anesthetic techniques brought about a renewed interest in the use of deep hypothermic circulatory arrest to aid in the treatment of difficult aneurysms. With circulatory arrest, the surgeon can manipulate the aneurysm and dissect free the perforators in a bloodless field without the risk of an intraoperative rupture. In this study from the Barrow Neurological Institute, the authors report on the largest series of patients treated with hypothermic circulatory arrest. They found that while the surgery provides effective long-lasting protection against future bleeds it is not without serious risks. Cardiac standstill remains an important treatment option for a small subset of complex and giant posterior circulation aneurysms. In recent years, however, the need for cardiac standstill has diminished, apparently reflecting a trend toward indirect surgical treatment through flow redirection techniques. Patients who may otherwise have been considered candidates for cardiac standstill a decade ago are now being treated via alternative microsurgical techniques, endovascular therapy, or combined endovascular and microsurgical strategies. Many alternatives can be considered to facilitate the treatment of difficult aneurysms before cardiac arrest is selected. Natural Course of Intracranial Arterial Dissections, a clinical article by Toru Mizutani. After completing a retrospective observational study of approximately 200 cases of intracranial arterial dissections, the author has important new data to report. Intracranial arterial dissections are much more common than previously thought. Although patients with intracranial arterial dissections are frequently diagnosed with headaches that suggest their recurrence, the vast majority of these dissections occur and heal without manifestation. In fact, intracranial arterial dissections are active for several months from their occurrence. Regarding those that cause subarachnoid hemorrhage, these lesions bleed within a few days from development. However, most intracranial artery dissections that are unruptured at diagnosis already have little risk for bleeding at the time of neuroimaging diagnosis. Sir Victor Horsley's 19th century operations at the National Hospital for Neurology and Neurosurgery, Queen Square. A historical vignette by Chris Uff and co-workers. In 1886, Victor Horsley was the first person ever appointed as a neurosurgeon at a medical institution. Although others before him had performed surgery on the brain, these procedures were rare, usually undertaken only once in a surgeon's lifetime. In this article, the authors look specifically at Horsley's 19th century operations at the National Hospital for the Paralyzed and Epileptic in Queen Square, London. In writing this article, they directly accessed the original case notes kept in the hospital archives. 151 operations between 1886 and 1899 were performed in 143 patients, ranging in age from 11 months to 69 years. The procedures included cerebral tumor excisions, resection for epilepsy with on-table cortical stimulation to identify the motor strip, trigeminal nerve sections, spinal decompressions, and pediatric posterior fossa surgery. 7 operation notes are transcribed, and the illustrations include figures drawn by Horsley. This paper presents an incomplete record of Horsley's work because many of his operations were performed in private houses, but it does provide an accurate window into the accomplishments of the world's first neurosurgeon more than 120 years ago. The mortality rate for craniotomy was 38%, but considering this was achieved without imaging, surgical diathermy, magnification, or blood transfusion, and with only one documented episode of fluid resuscitation, Horsley's achievements are nothing short of astonishing. The mortality rates did not diminish as his career progressed, but this is a reflection of the increasing complexity of the cases he took on. His inventions, including the curved scalp incision, bone wax, and bone-removing rongeurs, are still used today, and the stereotactic frame he invented with Robert Clark was the forerunner of all future frames. His undoubted success, in an era when there was no available benchmark, paved the way for future appointments at the National Hospital and elevated neurosurgery from a dangerous fringe activity to a brand new surgical specialty. Thank you for listening. Sign up in iTunes to get all weekly podcasts delivered to you as soon as they go live on Fridays. To read all the articles published by the JNSPG this week, or to visit our podcast archive, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.